Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful morning that God has blessed us with. It's not too hot, not too cold, just right. And we praise God for that. I would like to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would also like to welcome, if there's any visitors here this morning, you are also heartily welcome. And may you find it a blessing to worship here this morning with us. So before we begin, let's first of all, I would like to share a word with you, a verse with you out of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." With that, let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. We thank you that you have provided the nights for us that we can have a good night's rest, and that your grace and mercy is renewed for us every day, and we can start with a clean slate. And Father, we just pray that you will, with your Spirit that indwells in us, will give us the power to go out in this world and be a light for you. Lord, today as we meditate on your word, we also pray that the Spirit will allow us to expand our knowledge, our wisdom in Jesus Christ, that we can better ourselves, that we can shine a light in this world for you. Father, we pray this morning for our governments, our schools, our hospitals. We pray for our world that your Spirit will take control, that we can live in peace and harmony together, that we can extend your love freely to one another, that we can open our churches and provide services for all those that are hungry for your word. Father, we thank you for this, that we can do this in our country. And we just pray that it will be continued in this way, that we can praise and worship you with freedom wherever we are. Father, we pray for our Sunday school children, our little children that are growing up in this time, in this world, and we just pray that we can teach them the right way, that we can teach them a godly way to live, that their little hearts will absorb the truth, your Spirit, and that they can grow up to be disciples for you as well. Lord, we pray that you will give me words this morning to speak, that we can grow in your word. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll now have a few songs.
Two 272 blue hymnal. Feel free to stand.
Across
Channels Only, number 398.
Caring not, my Lord, was crucified.
Thank you for those numbers. When I read my opening verse here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." As we were singing these songs, especially the second one where it talks about channels, and I was reminded of when we turn on our television sets, of how we can control the channels of what we fill ourselves with. And as it talks about the channels, it says that thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me that I might thy channel be. So what channel are we on in our life is a question that we can ask ourselves. Are we on the right channel? The last song that you sang at Calvary, the first few verses talk about the life in the world that this person lived, that the years he spent in vanity and pride. But then he turned to a different channel, and the last few verses, they tell us of how he was redeemed, how he found salvation, and how that mercy was so great for him that he was forgiven of that vanity life. And he turned to the right channel to serve his Lord. And I believe that in the world that we live in today, it's very important that we turn to that right channel so that we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because that is our mandate as Christians, to be bold to talk to the world about who Jesus is, why he came, and what he did for us. When it says he came for the Jews first, but he also came for the Greek. To realize that the gospel is so powerful, it can take us all the way to heaven. But as our culture becomes more and more secular, it becomes more difficult for young people to understand what is right if we don't stay on top of things and keep teaching them the right way. When it talks about the world being more secular, it means being more worldly, where people aren't concerned about religions. They're not concerned about being connected with churches. But yet we also have to realize that when people choose to live this secular lifestyle, this secularism or this worldly living doesn't have the power to take away the human longings for our meaning and our worth. And by that I mean that we have all been given something inside when we were born, that we have a longing for life. We have a longing for peace. We have a longing for self-worth. And when we read in verse 19 of that same chapter, Romans chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," or we could say is evident among them, "for God hath showed it unto them." So we can see that that desire for that connection that we need to have with Jesus is built into each and every one. And when we choose a lifestyle to live in vanity or to live for the world, there's so many people there always searching for more. And they try to obtain that peace by acquiring stuff. But the world has nothing to offer that peace. And that's why we're forever searching. But when we can grasp the love of God, if we can obtain Jesus Christ and allow that spirit to infiltrate into our hearts, that's when we can find what we're longing for. It's something that the world just can't fulfill. And that is what the Christian needs to live out. And to tell the world the good news of what God has done in our lives. To reflect Jesus to this world is what our mandate is. in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 119, verse 18, the psalmist says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The psalmist that wrote this chapter, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. I believe there's 176 verses. And that whole psalm is divided into sections of 8 verses. And yet this psalmist is writing here, he says, "Open thou mine eyes." Why would he write that? "That I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." The psalmist realized that out of himself, by just reading scripture, wasn't enough. It wasn't just a storybook. There was something deeper in these words that he needed to absorb, that he needed to be able to put into his life. So he pleaded to God and said, "Open thou mine eyes so that I can see the depth of what God is doing in my life." And I believe that when we search scripture and we go to scripture with the mindset that I want to find what I'm looking for, I want to find the peace that passeth all understanding, and we allow the Spirit to come into our hearts and to allow us to open our eyes so that it can reveal what God wants to tell us. In that same psalm, verse 105, the same psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So when he pleaded to God to open his eyes, he realized that the word would come into him and become a light in his body. It would lighten up his eyes and it would become a light to the path of his life. It would lead him, it would guide him so that he could be the true child of God. And I believe that's why Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 39, John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." These are words of Jesus. He says, "Search the scriptures." And when you search the scriptures, then be like the psalmist and pray to God to open our eyes so we can understand what we are reading. "For in them ye think ye have eternal life." It gives us the peace of knowing that through scripture, through the Spirit, we can find eternal life with our God. And it says, those are the ones that testify, that are bold of the gospel. Those are the ones that have searched the scriptures. Those are the ones that have experienced God's love. And they are they which testify of me. Beautiful instruction. And when the psalmist says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," what is God's law? There were two major laws that Jesus expressed to us, which are very important in today's lifestyle, in today's world, that we need to concentrate on. And we read that in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. There Jesus says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." This is the first law that we need to dwell on, that we need to ponder on. "And the second law is like," he says, "namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now let's think about this a little bit. If we have truly absorbed the Spirit into our heart, if we go into Scripture with wanting to learn more of what Scripture has to say to us, if we have come to realize that we need to love the Lord our God, like it says here, with all our heart, mind, and soul, that we have dedicated our life 100%, turn to that channel of God. Turn to the channel of salvation in Jesus Christ. If we have that love within us, then that second law won't be difficult to do. That second law was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. If we look at today's world, how the government has pushed so hard that it's actually segregated people. It's divided communities. It's divided churches. It's divided families. There's things that we can't talk about anymore because it creates anger. It creates anxiety. If everyone were to absorb these two laws, that we could extend the love of Christ to one another, no matter what, how they live or how they act or what they've done in their life, the choices they have made, but that we can talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That should be a common denominator in all Christians, but it isn't. It's even the Christians that deny one another because of the choices they have made. That's wrong. That's not godly. So it's very evident that Satan is hard at work in this world. Satan is trying hard to destroy everything that we have. So what channel are we on today? Are we like the opening verse said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I will stand firm on the rock of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what the world dictates for me to do. If it is not godly, I will not do it. I will stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God instilled in us unto salvation. That is the only way we can obtain salvation is through Jesus Christ. And we need to learn that and know that. And when we finally get to that point, that's when we find the peace which passeth all understanding in this world. And we will understand and we will be able to love one another, no matter who we are, what we are, or where we are. In Psalm chapter 1, the psalmist writes, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, or sitteth in the seat of the negative. Blessed is that man. Verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what was the law? To love our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second one was to love one another. His delight, that's the delight of the blessed man. To live in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When he talks about meditation, it means that we ponder. We ponder on the true love of God day and night, what he has done for us, what we can extend to others through that, through our experience with our loving Lord and Savior. And then in verse 3 it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we can imagine a tree that is planted on the riverside. The water is always there. Nutrition is always there. It's always stands strong and firm. The leaves on it, they don't ever wither and look dried up like we experienced this year. When we had so little rain, how the leaves on the trees started to wither and they started to dry and they fell off. But not so if we are planted firm on the rock of Jesus Christ. Then our life won't look that way. Just like he explains with this tree. It's always there. It always has nutrition. It allows the water to be, the water to absorb, to give nutrition to the leaves. And then it tells us here that it brings forth fruit in its season. How often do we bring forth our fruit that we have experienced through Jesus Christ? It may be once a week where we run into a situation where we can share the gospel, or maybe every day. But that is the season of where we can bear our fruit. It's the opportunity that God gives each and every one of us so that we can share the gospel and further the kingdom of God, like is mandated to us. And the words that he says is, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We may not always see the results of what we have done, but in the end, when the judgment day comes, that is when we will get our rewards. The rewards we get here today, they're meaningless. It's the reward that we get at the end of time that will count. And then it tells us that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Like the chaff. And I had a wheat field beside our yard, and I was curious to see how much wheat was in the heads, and so I went over to the field, and I broke one a head off, and I crunched it in my hand, and the seeds came out of the straw, but there was some chaff in my hand as well. And all I had to do is kind of pour it into my other hand and lightly blow on it, and the chaff disappeared and the seed fell into my other hand. And when it tells us here that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with the, which the wind driveth away, it took such little effort to blow that chaff out of my hand. And that's what it tells us here. The ungodly have no footing. They have no foundation. And they fall so easily. But yet, if we are rooted in Jesus Christ, then the winds can't topple us over. The winds can't blow us away. The storms of life will come. Yes, they will. But if we have God on our side, he has already corrected that path before we get to it. We just have to allow him to guide us through it, to be that lamp and that light unto our path. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows each and every one of us. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can do. All he requires of us is to come to him, to accept him as our personal Savior, and he will help us through life. In John chapter 10, verses 9 to 11, John chapter 10, verses 9 to 11, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then in verse 10, he says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Jesus is now indicating how he will go to the cross and die for each and every one of us. When he says that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's what he did. He took all our sins on his shoulders. He went to the cross, suffered immensely. And he died and he rose again. Death could not defeat him. Satan could not defeat him. He is our one and only power that we can have, and it's all for free. And he will bring us through this world no matter what stands in our way. He will help us and guide us. When it talks in verse 10 about the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, we have so many good examples today of that. How people walk around and they try to find places or people that aren't following all these guidelines and rules that our scientists and government have made for us. They go around and to find out to see who isn't following those rules, and then they report them. They have a snitch line. And when it talks about the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, those are the people that are trying to destroy families, communities, businesses. It's evil. It's not right. But yet so many people are following that road. But we have a good shepherd who's going to help us out of these situations. And we as Christians can maybe help those people that are coming to steal and to kill and to destroy, to bring them onto the right path, to help them to find Jesus. In the book of Revelations, where Jesus talks to the one church, the church of Laodicea, he says in Revelations 3, verse 15 and 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So this is Jesus talking. He's saying that, I know who you are. I know what you do. And I know that you aren't cold or hot. I know that, and I wish that you would make a decision. I wish you would turn to the channel that you want to live. Do you want to be cold or do you want to be hot? Make up your mind. And then he says, so then, because you chose to be on the channel of lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will have to spit you out of my mouth. He cannot have that. It doesn't work for our God. And he tells us that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Or we could say, you cannot serve God and the world. We have to make up our mind. We're either hot or we're cold. But let's not try to stand on both sides of the fence. It doesn't work. Because God tells us very clearly in Revelations chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 that I just read, if we choose to be that lukewarmness, he's going to spit us out of his mouth. He wants nothing to do with us. But it doesn't have to be this way. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That's open invitation. He's standing at the door, gently knocking, just waiting for everyone to open their heart's door. And he says, I will come in. And I will dine with you. But sometimes when we have such free invitations, for some people that's hard to grasp. For some people it doesn't make sense. It should cost a lot of money, but it doesn't have to. That's not the way God designed it. It's all for free. We all, some of us may be familiar when Jesus talked to his disciples and to his followers, he would often talk in parables. And we know about the story in the book of Matthew where he talked about the parable of the seed, how some fell on the sidewalk and some fell on stony ground and some on thorns and thorn bushes and some fell on good ground. And they asked him, why do you talk that way? And then he said to his disciples that you understand what I am doing. You understand the mysteries of the gospel. But these other people don't understand, and I have to tell them in a way that they can relate to. So he chose the seed and the sower. And then he says, for this people's heart is waxed cold or grown dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. So simple. If, when I tell them these parables, and they come to knowledge, to the knowledge of the mysteries of God, and they haven't lived that life, but in that instance, when their eyes are opened and their ears hear and they understand, he says, and I will heal them. And they will have peace. They will have peace. Just like Zacchaeus did. When he has such a desire to see Jesus, and he heard that Jesus was coming their way, but he was a tiny man, he couldn't see because of all the media and all the people on the street. So he chose to climb up a sycamore tree. He knew that Jesus would pass by. And when Jesus came by, he said, Zacchaeus, come down quick because today I am coming to your house. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus hadn't lived a godly life. But Zacchaeus had such a desire to see his Jesus, to make things right. And he repented and he said, well, if I have taken anything from anyone, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said, today you will find salvation. Today you will be with me in my house. For he has come to seek and to save those that are lost. And that's what we can be encouraged with today. In the upside down world that we live in, if we have Jesus, then we are safe. We just need to stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have come to seek out all those that are lost. We're so grateful that you guide and direct the ones that have found you. We're so grateful that your mercy lives forever. And it's renewed every day. And Father, we just pray that you will just empower us even the more so that we can go out into this world boldly and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those around us. That we won't have the desire in us to segregate people, but that we will have your love in us. And no matter what the other person is, who he is or how he is, that we can love them and talk to them about the love of Jesus Christ. So that we can all someday be reunited in your heavenly kingdom. Father, I pray that you will be able to use each and every one of us as your tools. And Father, we pray for all those that are sick in the hospitals, in the care homes. We pray for those that are lonely, the ones that are shut in. We pray for the elderly in the care homes, that you will be with them. Wrap your arms around them and just help them to be encouraged in this life. And Father, as you use each and every one of us as your tool, we pray that we will make a difference when we leave these sanctuary doors today. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord hear humble prayers and be gracious to us. There's a few announcements that were given to me this morning. I'll just read them as they are. You didn't get a bulletin today. Apparently the printer broke down, so she just gave me a copy here. And the one announcement is the church picnic will take place at Kleefeld Park next Sunday, September 19th, 2021. Join us for food, fellowship, and fun. Food sign-up sheets are in the back. Please bring dessert snacks for FASPA. And there's a local annual meeting here at 7:30 p.m. September 27th in this year. And there's also a discipleship session will take place in the Sunday school September 28th to the 30th at 7:30 p.m. And then also, dear brothers in Christ, Brotherhood meeting is coming up October 2nd at 10 a.m. in the Winkler Sommerfeld Mennonite Church. A reminder that if any have any resolutions to forward for the meeting, the deadline is September 6th, so that has expired. But just let's remember, Lord willing, that Brotherhood meeting will be October 2nd of this year. So as far as this morning's worship service is concerned, the time has run out. We can't share anymore. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. And with that, let's all bow for the benediction. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And now you may go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you again for coming.